Well, it's a blessing to be with you this morning. I appreciate you coming and being here to worship God together. We're thankful for this opportunity. Thank God that He has commanded us to worship together on the first day of the week. The northern kingdom of Israel was taken captive in 721 BC by the Assyrians around that time. And because of this, most of the people of Israel were removed from their land and they were taken to Assyria. And they would have to live as captives until about 536 BC. But the Assyrians, they didn't like the idea that this land where the Israelites had been was going to be empty. And so they figured somebody needs to dwell in this land where the Israelites used to be. So they decided that they would import other captives from other countries to Israel to live there. And in 2 Kings chapter 17 and verse 24, 2 Kings 17 and verse 24, then the king of Assyria brought people from Babylon, Cutha, Ava, Hamath, and from Sepharvaim, and placed them in the cities of Samaria instead of the children of Israel, and they took possession of Samaria and dwelt in its cities. Remember, Samaria was the capital of Israel. So they bring these people, these captives from other nations, and have them dwell in the land of Israel in the city of Samaria. And guess what they were then called? Samaritans. And so that's where the Samaritans came from. So Samaritans have a little bit of Jewish heritage to them because of that. But then also they were heathen nations, so it's kind of a mixture of both. But that's who the Samaritans are. Now the Samaritans had a religion, and as they were imported into this land, they were fulfilling their religion. And yet there were some problems that they were having when they were there, and we're going to see what those problems are. And so what the king of Assyria says is that we need to get one of the priests from the Israelites to come and show you how to serve the God of that land. So that when you're in Samaria, you can serve the God of that land so that some of these problems that you're having may not occur anymore. And again, we're going to see what all that is in a minute. And so they had a sense of who God was because of that. And we're told in this passage that they fear God, but we're going to notice what that means in just a few minutes. But we're going to talk about the Samaritans here. I want us to read, if you haven't already turned your Bibles, to 2 Kings chapter 17. We're going to start again, well, we read verse 24, so we're going to start in verse 25 now of 2 Kings chapter 17. This is primarily where we're going to be studying from in our lesson today. So let's read this together and notice what it says about the Samaritans who are in the land of Israel, who are trying to serve God because they want to avoid some of the problems they're having, but are also still serving their false gods. And in fact, they may primarily be serving their false gods and serving God whenever they felt it necessary to do so. So look at verse 25 with me. It says, "And it was so at the beginning of the dwelling there that they did not fear the Lord. Therefore the Lord sent lions among them, which killed some of them." So in the beginning, when they were put in the land, they did not fear God. They did not fear the Lord. So it says He sent lions among them. That's what I said the problems were that they were having. One of them was the lions were sent among them, which killed some of them. "So they spoke to the king of Assyria, saying, 'The nations whom you have removed and placed in the cities of Samaria do not know the rituals of the God of the land. Therefore, He has sent lions among them, and indeed they are killing them because they do not know the rituals of the God of the land.' Then the king of Assyria commanded, saying, 'Send there one of the priests whom you brought from there. Let him go and dwell there, and let him teach them the rituals of the God of the land.' Then one of the priests whom they had carried away from Samaria came and dwelt in Bethel, and taught them how they should fear the Lord. However, every nation continued to make gods of its own and put them in the shrines on the high places which the Samaritans had made, every nation in the cities where they dwelt. The men of Babylon, and it goes on and gives the list of these various ones who were doing this, and I'm not going to read all these names. If you want to stand up and read them, you can. I'm not going to do that. I don't know how to pronounce them all. So I'm going to skip down to verse 32. It says, "So they feared the Lord," talking about all of these nations that are there, "so they feared the Lord, and from every class they appointed for themselves priests of the high places, who sacrificed for them in the shrines of the high places." Now notice, so they feared the Lord, and yet what do? They appoint priests for the high places. So they have the priests of God showing them how to fear God, but then they're also serving all of these false gods, and they are appointing priests over all of these false gods. Verse 33, again, "they feared the Lord, yet served their own gods." So you can see the pattern here. "According to the rituals of the nations from among whom they were carried away." Notice the rituals. And that's what the Assyrians thought about. It's just the rituals of what the people did who served this god. To them, God was just another god. But they needed to know the rituals to make this god happy. It says, "To this day they continued practicing the former rituals. They do not fear the Lord, nor do they follow their statutes or their ordinances or the law and commandment which the Lord had commanded the children of Jacob, whom he named Israel, with whom the Lord had made a covenant and charged them, saying, 'You shall not fear other gods, nor bow down to them, nor serve them, nor sacrifice to them.' But the Lord who brought you up from the land of Egypt with great power and with an outstretched arm, him you shall fear, him you shall worship, and to him you shall offer sacrifice. And the statutes, the ordinances, the law, and the commandments which he wrote for you, you shall be careful to observe forever. You shall not fear other gods. And the covenant that I have made with you, you shall not forget, nor shall you fear other gods. But the Lord your God you shall fear, and he will deliver you from the hands of your enemies. However, they did not obey, but they followed their former rituals. So these nations feared the Lord, yet served their carved images. Also their children and their children's children have continued doing as their fathers did, even to this day." Now notice, is that conflicting there? It says they feared God, and then it says they did not fear God. And then it says they feared their false gods, and they did not fear God, but then they feared God. So what's it talking about? How is it all going back and forth like that, saying they fear Him and they don't fear Him? What we're going to do in our lesson today is to contrast the religion of the Sumerians, or of the Samaritans, with our service of God today. We're going to look at how they feared God, how they worshiped God, and so forth, and contrast that to how our service to God should be today. And this will hopefully help us to not fall into the error of the Samaritans. Because the Samaritans were not pleasing to God. You remember the Samaritan woman who God talked to, and how God had to teach her, and she had to teach the others. And they had a different religion, even though they claimed to serve God also. So we're going to talk about that in our lesson today, and hopefully we'll get a better grasp as to how we should serve God by doing that. So the first thing we're going to notice about the Samaritans is that they simply had a religion of fear. And yet the kind of fear that they had was not the only kind of fear they should have had for God. Yet they were afraid of Him. They feared the Lord. 2 Kings chapter 17 and verse 32. Other verses say the same thing. They feared the Lord. And the fact that they feared God, that was a good thing. They needed to fear God. And they had reason to fear God. You know, the problem comes in verse 33. They fear God, and yet they serve their carved images. They served their, well, 33 says it served their own gods. And verse 41 says served their carved images. So then it says after they feared God, it says that they still served their false gods also. It's interesting that after saying they fear God, it says they don't fear God. And after it says they fear God, it says that they are still worshiping their false gods. And the problem with that is that they had the wrong kind of fear. Now, this is the kind of fear they should have had. Turn with me over to the book of Proverbs. Keep your marker in 2 Kings. We'll be going right back there. But look in the book of Proverbs. We're going to look at a few different passages in Proverbs. Start with me in Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7 says, "The fear of the Lord." It says they feared the Lord, remember? But the fear of the Lord, what about it? It is the beginning of knowledge. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. So if they truly feared the Lord like they were supposed to fear the Lord, then it says that would be the beginning of knowledge. But if they are foolish, then they despise wisdom and instruction. See, they didn't care about following God or serving God. It just says that they feared Him. Now look in Proverbs chapter 14, verses 26 through 27. Proverbs chapter 14, verses 26 through 27. "In the fear of the Lord, there is strong confidence, and His children will have place of refuge. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to turn one away from the snares of death." If we truly fear the Lord, and we truly want to be pleasing to Him and obedient to Him, which is what true fear is, then we're going to please Him, we're going to serve Him, and we're not going to care about what anyone else says or thinks. He's going to be a fountain of life to us. He's going to be the way that we flow. Instead of following man's ideas, and fearing what they might can do to us, we're not going to fear that. We're going to respect God and fear the Lord. And then one more in Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses 13 through 14. Ecclesiastes 12, verses 13 through 14. "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is man's all. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil." Fear God and keep His commandments. That's the part that they were lacking. They feared God. They were afraid of God. They were afraid of what God could do to them. They didn't want the trouble and the strife and the difficulty that came with not being on God's side in the land of Israel, in God's land. And yet they did not fear Him the way that God wanted them to, by keeping His commandments. They needed to have the same kind of fear that Jesus expects of His disciples. In Matthew chapter 10, Matthew chapter 10 and verse 28, this is the fear, the kind of fear that we should have, and also the kind of fear that we should not have. "And do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear Him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Okay, so we're not going to fear man. We're not going to fear those who can just simply kill our bodies. We're going to fear the one who is capable of not only killing our body, but also of sending us to hell. The fear of the Lord, if we truly fear Him, is one that will motivate us to action, where we will turn away from evil and we will serve God faithfully at all times. And that's not what the Samaritans are doing. The problem with the Samaritans is they feared God because they didn't want the problems, and yet they were still loyal to all their false gods. They're loyal to the ones that they have been worshiping before that. Once they get to the land of Israel, and once they have problems with the lions, that's when they understand that God has the ability to hurt them, to kill them even, and they fear Him because of that, but they don't fear Him to the point of wanting to serve Him and keep His commandments. You know, when they thought of God, they thought of Him because they were afraid of Him, because of what He could do to them. Oh, we need to please this God, otherwise He's going to send lions among us and kill us. What might He do the next time? He might send fire down from heaven, which we know God was capable of doing that too. But they might have said, well, we've got to do something so that He will not be on our bad side, so that He's not going to do this to us. And so here the priests came, and the priests taught them and showed them about the God of heaven, and yet they refused to turn loyally to Him. They just spoke to Him whenever they thought it was necessary to protect them. Now, I want to suggest to you that people are like that today. Because when people fear God, it's because they fear Him of what He can do to them. Because they know that, well, maybe they believe in hell. They understand that there is a hell. So they fear God because they don't want to go to hell. But they're not willing to truly turn to Him and change. They're just going to try to do whatever they can to get by so that they'll stay on His good side, so that He's not going to do anything to them in the future. They remember God whenever the hard times come, whenever the difficult times come, whenever things are hard in their life. Maybe when they're sick, they remember God. When they're going to have surgery, they remember God. Maybe they remember God when tragedy strikes. And they're going to call to God and say what they have to in order to keep God there. But then when it truly comes to really fearing Him, respecting Him, loving Him, and serving Him, they're not willing to do that, especially when times are going smoothly. No, Christians really can be like, sometimes on these, educational type channels, Discovery Channel and all those kind of channels, there are shows about crab boats. Maybe you've seen some of those where the crab boats go out and they spend all this time out in the water. There's storms coming, and yet the men are out there pulling up the crabs, and they're working hard in the storms. Well, when the times are good, when things are going smoothly, when they're out there, I mean, they're cursing and they're drinking and they're carrying on and acting like, well, basically like a drunken sailor would. Filthy mouth. But then whenever the storms are really coming and the boat's in danger and it starts tossing and turning, you can even see them sometimes even praying or talking to God or saying, help us through this. And it's the idea of, okay, if You'll just help us through this, then, we'll do what we're supposed to do. But then what happens when the storm passes? They're right back to acting like they were before. It's not a true change. It is a change because of fear in the moment, but it's not a change where they're willing to truly turn to God and serve God faithfully, which is what God expects of us. That's what the Samaritans did. They said, okay, we don't want these lions, so what can we do to get them out? Okay, the priest comes, tells them, all right, so we'll serve this God, but we'll also serve all these other gods. Because after all, we got to keep them happy too. That was their attitude, and that was the wrong attitude for them to have. Well, the second kind of religion that they had, after it was just a religion of fear, it was a religion of form. It's where, okay, the priest comes and tells them what to do, so they'll do those things. But as they fulfill this and go through this motion and go through that, do this sacrifice and whatever it is that they were told to do, their heart wasn't in it. Their hearts were still for their carved images. That's where their loyalty truly was, is where their carved images were. And yet they had God kind of in the back so that the lions wouldn't come again. You see, that's their attitude. But it was a religion of form. They were taught the proper way to worship God, and they went through these motions, but their hearts were not in it, and they were worshiping their idols. People today can also make religion a worship of form, and just simply form with no substance. You know, we have to have form in religion. We have to have form in our services. We have to go through and do what we are commanded to do. God has said, do this, so we do it. That is the form. All right? We sing. We pray. We partake of the Lord's Supper. We go through this form. But where's the substance come from? The substance comes from here. What are we thinking about it? How are we feeling about it? How are we acting toward it? There's an example I want us to look at. It's in the book of Amos. Amos chapter 8, verses 5 through 6. Amos chapter 8, verses 5 through 6. This was the attitude of the ones who the prophet was talking to here. These are Israelites, about worshiping God. It says in verse 5, when will the new moon be passed, that we may sell grain, and the Sabbath, that we may trade wheat, making the ephah small and the shekel large, falsifying the scales by deceit, that we may buy the poor for silver and the needy for a pair of sandals, even sell the bad wheat? When can we get done with this? When will the Sabbath day be over? When can we be done with this worship and this service to God, where we can go out and do what we really want to be doing, which is deceiving the people, lying to the people, mistreating the poor, all the things that are listed there? That was their attitude, and that's how people are today, going through the form and not the substance. When we're here worshiping, where are our minds? What are we thinking about? What are we concentrating on? Are we thinking about our day? Are we thinking about tomorrow? Are we thinking about next week? Or are we concentrating on the Lord and His Word? And were we learning the lessons that He has us to learn? Are we remembering the sacrifice of Him on the cross when we partake of the Lord's Supper? Or are we thinking about something we're going to do this afternoon? Where's our mind? Are we truly concentrating on what we should be? When we pray, are we listening to the words, and are we saying amen in our heads or about what's being said and saying, yes, I agree with this, and I'm praying with this person? Or are we letting our minds wander and concentrating on other things? This would be a religion of form because we're praying. A religion of form because we're partaking of the Lord's Supper, but there's no substance there because our hearts are not in the right place. David said, I will praise you with my whole heart. He doesn't say just with just going through a form. David says, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. While I live, I will praise the Lord. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. Those are Psalms. That is Psalm 146, verses 1 through 2. The previous one was Psalm 138 and verse 1. And then he says, praise the Lord, for it is good to sing praises to our God, for it is pleasant and praise is beautiful. That's Psalm 147 and verse 1. In those Psalms, Psalm 138, Psalm 146, and Psalm 147, when David's talking about praise, he's talking about praising God with all that he is, all that he has. Everything inside of him comes out when he praises God. When he worships God, when he serves God, it's not just a form. It's not just, oh, I'm here and I'm doing this and I'm doing this and I'm doing this and I'm done, I'm go home. It's where he's pouring his heart into it, and he loves it and he wants it. And it is a part of his life The Samaritans had no substance. They did what they thought they could get away with in order to keep the lions out. We must not just do what we think we can get away with. We must put everything we have into it. Then the third kind of religion that they had would be a religion of compromise. Because they served other gods. They served God in a way, but their whole heart was really in serving all these other gods. That's where their loyalty was. And so they were compromising both ways. No, the book of James, James 4 and verse 4, in talking about that, it's referred to as being a friend of the world and a friend of God, trying to be both a friend of the world and a friend of God. James calls it adultery. And that's really what it is. You're unfaithful whenever you try to serve both. What did Jesus say? No one can serve two masters, right? Why? Because you cannot serve God and mammon. You can't serve God and the things of this world. It doesn't work because you're either going to love the one and hate the other, or despise the one and be loyal to the other. One's going to happen. You can't have both. You know, when you have the God of heaven and you have the false gods that the Samaritans worshipped, that's a clash. The God of heaven didn't approve of these false gods. And of course, the false gods are false, so it's not that they can't approve of God, but everything that those false gods stood for to the people was totally different than what God stands for. So there's no way that those can mesh. You can't fit those together. So they had a religion of compromise where they worshiped the God of heaven and also their false idols. What about Christians? Do we do that? Do people who claim to serve God try to serve other things? Do we have other things in our life that we try to serve also when we should be serving our Lord? It's all about our attitude. It's all about how we feel toward God and whether where He fits in our life. But God will not tolerate compromise. He will not put up with compromise. He says that we have to go to Him with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our strength. Everything that we are is what He demands. He expected that in the old law, and He expects that of us also. So when we look at the Samaritans and we see that it was a religion of compromise, it was a religion of just fear, and it was just a religion of form, we need to learn from that and do the opposite of that. And where they had their loyalty toward the false gods, we need to have our loyalty toward the God of heaven. Put Him first. Put Him above all others. Raise Him up. Exalt Him. And serve Him and Him alone. And I hope that we are all doing that in our lives. And if we're not, I hope that we're going to change and we're going to determine right now that He comes first. If you haven't yet become a Christian, we urge you to do that. We want you to repent of your sins. We want you to be baptized in water for the remission of your sins. If you are already a Christian, you've done that, you've been baptized, but you've fallen away. You have sin in your life. You haven't been living faithfully. You haven't been putting Him first above all others. We hope that you'll start doing that today. We want you to repent, pray, ask the Lord to forgive you. If we can pray with you, we're certainly willing to do that. We invite you to come while we stand and while we sing.